Welcome to Basic Business AI, a podcast dedicated to simple AI strategies for businesses who don't want to get an advanced tech degree or hire some marketing bro. I'm your host, Josh Thomas. You can find me on all social media at JT Literally. We bring on regular business owners like you and me to discuss practical strategies, ideas, and perspectives about AI without getting too far into the weeds of the tech. BBAI is sponsored by Conversational Funnels, the easiest way to get more sales is to get more chances to sell. We've used one simple conversational funnel to casually book 121 qualified sales opportunities in less than 2 weeks in a brand new market where we had zero presence, zero connections, all without spending ads, doing cold outreach, or posting endlessly on social media. This is the new way to close high ticket clients for 2025, and it only takes minutes to start booking calls. You can download the blueprint for free at conversationalfunnels.com. Today's guest is Michael Whitehouse. Michael is the guy who knows a guy, connecting people on every continent to the people they need to know. As a proud entrepreneur, he has embraced technology to bring people together in new ways never before possible. Michael, welcome to BBAI. In your perspective, how is AI reshaping the future of your industry?
Well, I mean, AI is reshaping the future of everything. So a lot of some microcosm of that, but some of the big ways is that this is the culmination of a technological progression that we've had more and more support for smaller and smaller businesses. 100 years ago, if you wanted a business, you needed to rent a space, hire a secretary, hire a bookkeeper, there's a lot of things you couldn't do yourself. Like a one-person business wasn't a thing. It couldn't be done. When I opened my first business in 2002, I had the benefit of QuickBooks. I didn't know how to do bookkeeping, but I knew how to put stuff in a computer. And so I was able to run a business without having to hire a bookkeeper. That has simply progressed step by step by step, that more and more technology has taken on those roles. And the flip side of that is big companies are laying off staff and saying, we've got computers for that, we got tools for that, whatever. But at the same time, us as individuals, we can now have the equivalent of a staff. What I jokingly call my army of robots. So yeah. I can use technology to replace what I would normally need to hire a bunch of people for, which means my cost base to get started can be dozens of dollars instead of tens of thousands of dollars. You can rapidly prototype new ideas. You can even use AI as your own personal, you know, sounding board. So there's just so many things you can now do because you have an army of robots supporting you doing it.
You know, it's interesting you said about having AI being your sounding board. And I'm curious your thoughts on this. You know, I've spent some time with AI and ChatGPT, and it seems like ChatGPT can be a little bit of a yes man. And I'm curious how you navigate through that, because I don't need a yes man. Sometimes I need somebody to say, no, Josh, that's a terrible idea.
Well, that's what humans are good for. But as an extrovert, which is what makes me such a good networker, I don't think well inside my head. If I go in my head, I start going in circles. I need someone to talk to and talk things through with. And I don't even so much need the expertise of that person. I need someone who will hear what I'm saying. And sometimes just I need the exercise of saying it to someone. And whether that's a human or a robot or the guy at the supermarket doesn't matter. I just need to talk it through. Sometimes I need someone to reflect back. And so I can talk to it and say, you know, what are some of these themes? There's a couple things I've seen on ideas shared on Facebook, prompts such as, based on our interactions, what have you noticed about me that I might not know about myself? Things. I once did that by accident. I asked it for a horoscope and it gave me the horoscope. I'm like, this sounds weirdly specific to me. And I asked it, is this based on the position of the stars? And it was like, it basically said, how would I know where the stars are? Like, look up where the stars are and give me a horoscope. Oh yeah, here's your horoscope. But what it created was actually better than a horoscope, because it was based on, because, you know, now ChatGPT-4, all the chats go into one common memory. So it actually was able to extract from everything I was doing an overall, like, here's some things to pay attention to, here's some things to look at. And one challenge I have, you know, I'm an extrovert with ADHD. So I come up with all kinds of things. I do all kinds of things. I'm all over the place. And then I'll forget what I was doing last week or 10 minutes ago. So having something where just by interacting with this system, it's retaining everything. And it's not quite where it needs to be yet, but I think one or two generations down, it'll be there. where it will actually be at the point where it'll say, didn't you have this idea 9 months ago? You know, why don't you actually do it again? And, and you know, right now it happens, you know, I found a workshop that I created all the slides for a year ago. And I remember the name of it, and I went and looked it up on Canva, and there it was. I looked at the slides, no edits necessary. I could give it today, and I ended up giving it again. But I'd forgotten about it for a year. Right. Having a tool that will remember all of that and, you know, have that information. Because the other thing it lets you do, too, is there's never an excuse to be wrong anymore. You know, it used to be you post something on Facebook or you share a meme or whatever, you're like, and somebody calls you out and said, actually, the facts of that are wrong. They're like, oh, I didn't know. I don't have time to look. I mean, first off, don't post if you don't have time to fact check. But I didn't have time to check. I don't know the history of this. I don't know whatever.
Yeah. Or just like dig your heels in, even if you're wrong. And, somebody will back you up anyway.
Yep. But now what you can do is you're like, this feels right, or I want to share it. You can cut and paste it in ChatGPT. Now you can put an image in. So you put it in a ChatGPT, say, hey, I want to share this. Are there any factual errors I need to be aware of? And it will tell you, this is wrong. This is controversial. This is going to start an argument. It'll give you all that information in seconds. So it's no longer a matter of having to go research things. You have a digital research assistant. And is it 100% right? No. Is a human research assistant going to be 100% right after 2 days of work? No. So you can also ask your fact check itself. So you can say, hey, go look this up for me. And then it gives you that. You're like, please confirm everything you just told me. And it'll then research it. And I think actually there's some model, I don't know which one it is, that does that automatically. It fact checks everything before it gives it to you. But one of the things I find with AI is people overthink it. And they think like, oh, I need to learn how to use AI. Do you speak a language? Doesn't even have to be English. Do you speak a language? You know how to use AI.
Yeah, that's one of the most important things. Like AI is a tool, right? Mm-hmm. If you can swing a hammer, you can use AI. AI is a tool. And there are some people that are real, real good at swinging a hammer. And there's some people that can barely lift it up. But as long as you have like arms and hands, you know, you can pretty much do the basics.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the key thing. I think a lot of people get overwhelmed and they're like, well, which tool I need for this and which for that? Now, there's some things that the basic stuff can't do. Like, and when I stumble across the, like I found Suno, which creates music. You know, ChatGPT can't do that. It can write the lyrics, but it can't make the music. Or Gamma that creates slideshows. And when I found that, I'm like, because I'd been using ChatGPT to outline, and then I still had to go to Canva and do all the plugin, and it still looked like crap because I had no design ability. And then I used Gamma. I'm like, what? Click, 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 boom. It doesn't look awful. Amazing. And so there's some things like that. But just the basics of it are, when you think of it as an AI assistant, imagine you had a human assistant, which most of us don't have because we don't want to pay someone $25 an hour to just be there next to us all the time. And because, you know, we just don't have that much work for them or don't want to oversee a human or don't have the patience. You know, you tell a human assistant to do something, it's like 3 days till I get it done because they have to like do it in human speed. With AI, if you wanted to research, you know, what I need every passage from the Bible where it talks about swearing. Here you go. I need a something else to ask for. You know, and it'll now search the internet for you. And it's interesting because I've heard some people start complaining about how Google is now giving AI results because you have the anti-AI people. Yeah, AI is stealing our identities and stealing our blah blah blah, and they get all upset about that, but Google results have been kind of crap for the last 5-8 years, maybe longer. Yeah.
They really have. I was wondering if I was the only one that noticed that. Like, I used to be able to look something up and just get the answer, and now I look it up and I get something else, and it's like, that's not what I... Surely this information exists on the internet somewhere.
And even once you scroll past, I mean, you have to know to scroll past the ads and the shopping and the everything else to get to the actual links, which are now 2/3 of the way down the page. But even those aren't good because what's happened is SEO has become such a solvable problem that the people who have the money for SEO or the tools for SEO get their link, they get their stuff up on Google, which is crazy because why is Google not using AI to give you better results like TikTok does and like YouTube does? But so you get the highest SEO results, not the most useful or most relevant or most accurate. And then all you're getting is websites that were made to drive SEO traffic to get people into a newsletter or a funnel. And it's not necessarily useful answers. It's just simple regurgitation, which this is what people say AI is going to be. It's just, you know, regurgitating information. But AI will actually filter through it for you and find the things that, you know, because when it searches, it finds a bit of this and a bit of that and it kind of synthesize it. Whereas if you just Google search yourself, you find one or two articles, and those might be, you know, articles that are, this is why people think so many dumb things like you must post on social media every day or else don't have a business. That's a strategy, but you can't say you don't have a business if you're not posting every day. You can't say you don't have a business if you're not sending emails every day, or there's a whole bunch of different strategies. But if you're selling social media services, your blog is going to say you need to post every day. You need this, you need that, you need this. Oh, you don't have time for that? Well, hire me. I'll take care of that. But if you don't get to the bottom where the CTA, where the offer is, then you think, oh, some expert told me this. I need to do it. No, they're just saying that because that's what makes you want to buy from them.
Right.
And AI will filter through all that and get to, you know, get to what's underneath and give you some actual, often better answers that you get just by Googling and reading.
So, Michael, tell me, who are some of these guys that you know, and how, why should we know these guys that you know?
Well, I can't really go through a full list in the 15 minutes we have. I can start listing, but that would take 15
okay,
minutes.
Okay, but you're a guy who knows a guy, and so you're a connector. I love connecting with fellow connectors because, you know, like whatever you need, I probably got a guy for that.
Yeah, so I'm a compulsive networker. I love meeting people, and I collect people. Now, that doesn't sound right. That sounds really creepy. Connections and resources. And even before, you know, twice now, I've moved into a space, had nothing to sell, nothing to do. I just started meeting people and saying, how can I help you? And then saying, oh, I think I met someone who can help you with that. Just the other day, you know, I'm not really active in the, I know a few people in the health space, but recently someone I know needed a connection about surrogacy, as in having someone carry a fetus for you, which is something I've never had need to get into. I don't know anyone in that space. And I said, yeah, I don't have a connection there. And she said, what? That's like, yeah. Just kidding.
Like,
hold on.
What?
And so I went to my network and I can find any connection. It's how much time and energy it's going to take. So I went to my network. And I said, hey, who knows someone in this space? And the next day I'm like, all right, here's someone who's a nationally recognized attorney in the space. Here's an advocate in the space. And here's someone who runs a podcast on it. Here you go. So it's about, a lot of it starts with deciding you're going to provide value. But, you know, so I'm all about meeting people. I love providing value up front. Party, I may have mentioned extrovert ADHD. When I meet with someone, I'm not super good at follow up and like calling a week later and be like, hey, how'd that thing go? So I provide the value up front. When I meet with someone, I find a way to provide value.
You front load it. So, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So when we meet a week from now and I'm like, Josh, yeah.
That guy, yeah.
And you're like, that's weird, he doesn't remember me because his two introductions were amazing. So I don't care he doesn't remember me. Maybe I can get the, you know, maybe it's like the first ones are free. Maybe I get the first ones free again because he doesn't remember me. So, you know, people
It's funny you say that. I was talking to a guy I interviewed on my podcast, and he asked me, he's like, hey, I want to know more about what you do. I'm interested. It's a good fit for me. I'm like, cool. And so we booked a call, and I showed up on the call, and he starts asking me like, cool, man, how do we get connected? You know? And I'm like, you told me to show up. He forgot, but yeah. Like, all right, you know, it's no big deal. People run busy lives, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, and that's why on my email booking link, one of the questions is, how did we meet? And another question is like, you know, what introductions do you want? I think another one is, what's a goal you're working on or something like that. So, you know, if you were to book, you'd be like, how do we meet? You were on my podcast, goal, talk about the program I do because you said you're interested. So that way, because I use those questions, a lot of it's understanding my own weaknesses and then compensating them. Instead of, because I think a lot of people are like, no, I'll remember. I don't forget people.
Yeah.
I'm like, I forget people. I forget them all the time. I forget. Yeah. I mean, once I'm working with them regularly, I don't forget them. It's not like, I'm not the guy from Memento. Exactly. Close.
Yeah.
But so I create tools and I create systems so that I don't forget, or so I'm reminded of those things. But one of those is just provide value up front, because if I make a couple of good introductions for you when we first meet, or otherwise provide value, I now have a wider, bigger toolbox of resources than just introductions now. If I do that up front, and then we remember, I'm like, hey, yeah, great to see you. Remind me. You're like, you introduced me to this person. This person is great. I'm like, cool. I'm awesome.
Yeah.
How can I help you again?
Yeah, right.
And I pretty much set it up so every introduction is going to go well, or every interaction will go well, even if I completely forgot. And it tends to go pretty well, because then people are just like, I'd like to talk to him again because he did cool stuff for me last time. Maybe he'll do cool stuff for me again. And works out pretty nicely.
So Michael, where can we go to connect with you and learn more? And who do you help?
There's two groups that I primarily help. So as to where to go to learn more, you can go to guywhoknowsaguy.com. That's my main website that branches out to all my other things. But the two groups I primarily help, one is more established businesses who want to do collaborative marketing, as in I promote you, you promote me, launches, webinar swaps, podcasts, all that kind of stuff. So I can do the networking for them if they have the systems in place and just need those connections. And then the other group that I'm really passionate about is that those forgotten newbies, because everyone in the industry is, they got their high ticket offers, their $10,000 programs. But before you need any of that, you need to just get your ducks in a row and like get the car started and driving down the driveway. So I have programs that are for people who are not yet making hundreds of thousands of dollars to figure out all those gaps that they have in their business and to get those initial connections, build that initial strategy through a program I recently launched called the Opportunity Growth Academy. But it's those entry-level people that a lot of people are like, I don't want to work with people who can't spend $5,000. I love working with those people because those are people who need the most help and are most likely to trip over their shoelaces and walk out of the business because they say, I can't do this. And I love to capture that potential and share it with the world before they give up.
Awesome. Well, hey, we're going to wrap up from here. Thanks so much to our guest, Michael Whitehouse, for coming on and sharing a little bit of wisdom about how we can apply AI practically in our business. And for those of you who want to connect with him and you need a guy, go to guywhoknowsaguy.com. And if you do run a business of any size and you have some ideas or strategies around the topic of AI, we'd love to have you on a future episode as well. We interview business owners of all levels, especially the 90% of us who are curious about AI but not trying to be tech geniuses. You can apply for a future episode by going to basicbusinessai.com. And one more time, if you want to stuff your calendar with qualified and motivated ideal clients who want what you have, download the Conversational Funnels Blueprint for free at conversationalfunnels.com. We'll see you next time here on Basic Business AI. And by the way, if you like this episode, tell your friends. See you later.